This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dreen.
Here we go. Podcast time. Mike Bratton is the guest. I've joked in the past how many times it takes me to record a stupid intro. I believe this is my fifth try. Not even kidding. Hopefully it lasts. I don't have too much to talk about, though, as we get into this. I will say, if you did not check out the Mike Madrigal episode, it may not... I mean, it's definitely up there as far as one of the most listened to episodes. It definitely was the most talked about episode. And I love Mike for speaking his mind. He's definitely a power player in the world of radio imaging services, production, you know, talent management. He's one of the top three of Short Bus Radio, which is one of the, we can comfortably call them top three imaging service providers in America for sure. Maybe they're top two. I don't think they're number one, but a huge player. Mike was great, but certainly got plenty of comments via email. Also on my website, people were commenting. Facebook was blowing up, as they say, about it. So if you did not listen to the Mike Madrigal episode, go do yourself a favor and listen. And I think I cut it into two parts. I'll go to my site and look. Yeah. And part two, I think it's safe to say, had some of the more controversial parts of his interview. But Mike was great. Thanks to him again. I have another Mike Bratton, coming up in minutes. Coming up soon, I've been doing a little chatting with my buddy Cousin Deke over at Clear Channel Dallas. I haven't worked out a time or a date or anything, but he is going to be up very quick, and he's been requested by a few people. The dude is very talented, and he's got, I mean, his voice and or production, I think these days it's more voice, all over America. He's one of the big power players within Clear Channel. They use him, they abuse him everywhere, although I'm sure he's handsomely rewarded financially, so it's fine. So Cousin Deke will be coming up soon. Also, I still have Vishwanath, who's in Dubai. I think he's next. I will be scheduling things soon, but I believe in July we'll be hearing from him. That one's just more difficult because we got to do the hookup, you know, across the world. But I do like to keep the international interviews coming in. And finally, note about the website, RyanOnTheRadio.com. If you're finding the podcast elsewhere, maybe you just saw an iTunes subscription, or I think I'm on Stitcher. Possible. I kind of forgot how that one works, if it's automatically pulling or not. It doesn't matter. If you want to learn more about some of the guests that I have on, usually there's information in the post, you know, about the podcast. Also, a lot of them will have a show notes episode. Mike Bratton coming up here doesn't, because some of them are just kind of standard interviews. But anyway, you can learn more about the guests and learn or hear more about them from them, whatever. Read crap on my website, RyanOnTheRadio.com. Also, the blog is there. I try and post contributed stuff all the time. I'll review things on occasion. I'll try and do some tips and or tricks, some little tutorial videos when I can. And I always come at stuff, FYI, from more of the novice producer guy side. I don't try and get fancy or use lingo. First of all, I don't know a lot of lingo. And second of all, I know some things that work. I just don't often know why they work. So again, I always try and come at it from the super beginner standpoint. So if you're looking to, you know, be the next Grammy Award winning producer, I'm not your guy. But if you want to know how to be a little more capable with your DAW, especially if you're a Pro Tools user, I might be able to help in that regard. So on the website, blog, lots of fun stuff there. Otherwise, let's get the interview rolling. And first, some audio from the one and only, really great talent. And I like him because he's kind of the new wave. He's what's really selling right now in the voiceover world. Mike Bratton.
Charlie Sheen is back. Anger Management returns Thursday, January 17th, only on FX. The critics are raving about Christine.
That's a good one.
It's wildly amusing.
I once broke up with a guy because he was in a barbershop quartet.
And outrageously brave.
I just got my nipples looking human again.
Make a date with a new Christine. New episode Wednesday, only on CBS. In the heart of America is a city as tough
they gave on me
as those sworn to protect it. From Sean Ryan, creator of The Shield, comes a bold new look at crime and contradiction.
It never ceases to amaze me how well crime pays.
Ride Along, coming this fall to Fox. The coastal forest of Oregon, a frontier hardened by the fury of the Pacific Ocean. Here, a rare breed of men gamble with life and limb. It's boom or bust, with big rewards and even bigger risks for those who can call themselves Axemen. All new, next Rachel Ray, host of The View and mom of two, Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
You have your spices, I have my paycheck.
What she simply can't live without. Next Rach, Wednesday. Join host Stacey Keibler as a BMX superstar and a rally car champion face off in a high-speed clash. Battle Cross, Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific on Fuel TV.
All right, and we are joined again on the Producers Podcast by Mike Bratton. Mike, man, appreciate your time. I know your schedule is busy. Thanks for joining me on the show here.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. Had you requested a little while ago, and as I've been piling through the various guests that I get requested or the folks that I want to interview, you're definitely someone that I look up to as a talent, but also someone I think a lot of people are interested in. You have attained... can we say great success as a voice talent? Where do you put yourself? What level do you put yourself on?
I like that. We could go with great success. That sounds fantastic. I think honestly, these days, well, really, yeah, it's weird to talk about that. I do
just weird talking about yourself.
I know. I do just fine. I do well, and I make a living, and I'm doing better all the time, and I'm pretty happy with it. I got to be honest with you. Is that a nebulous / decent enough answer?
Yes, that's a good answer. I will dig more details out of the specifics as we go through the interview. But no, you're a successful working voice talent. I don't want to go terribly deep into the background because I think a lot of the value of this interview will come from your day-to-day and come from what you do and how you work.
Okay.
But when it gets down to it, why did you start using your voice to get money?
Starting out in radio, I was told that I wasn't going to be able to do that by my first boss, who I'm still good friends with, and I think he realized that maybe he might have spoken too soon back in the day, but I kind of never thought of doing any of this stuff ever before. I always wanted to be a studio rat making remixes, and then over the years, I started getting. You know, I got into alternative radio, and then that was sort of like freeform, free for all. And then stations started paying attention and started using me, especially with my production. And then over the years, I started talking to various agents and started working with some agents. And you know, doing it on the side, making extra money was great. And then after a period of time, I was making more money on the side than I was at my day job. And I had always threatened my wife and myself, I guess, that one of these days I'm going to quit doing radio and I'm going to just do this full time. And then after 15 plus years in radio, never once being let go from a job anywhere ever, although I left a few just in time, the last job that I had in Chicago, they had flipped format and they downsized, and I finally got pushed out the door. And so that was kind of like my moment of decision. And my wife was like, "Well, you've always threatened to do this. Now's your chance." And that's what I've done for the last 5, 6, 7 years.
And so you've been full-time VO for 5, 6, 7 years-ish.
Yeah.
Do you dabble in production still? Did you keep production duties for a little while after Chicago, or did you just kind of flip the switch 100% voiceover?
I just kind of flipped the switch 100% voiceover back then. I like to still do production, and I try and keep my toes in it when I can. I produce my own. Yeah. I produce some of my own demos, or certainly some of the pieces that I do. If I don't have something, you know, that's real, shh. And then I also, produce some stuff for some other voice talent, and I'm slowly getting my toes back into doing imaging production again, just because I like it and frankly kind of miss it a little bit. It's been a while, so.
And do you mean this as you're trying to just kind of do it as a hobby, or you're actually trying to attain real gigs where real stations pay you money to produce?
I would have real stations pay real money to produce real things.
Yeah. Okay. The community. Let's start there, and then I'll get a little more specific into what you do. But in fact, let me throw this out. I forgot to say it right at the top. For anybody who wants to peruse Mike's website, it's Mike Bratton Voice, B-R-A-T-T-O-N, MikeBrattonVoice.com.
Mm-hmm.
You are on Twitter at Mike B Voice.
Yes,
so
sir.
So they can go tweet you, et cetera.
Yes.
Are you on Facebook? Are you involved in any other voiceover communities in general? Or do you kind of keep to yourself out there?
No, you know, I keep my nose in most everything that's going on voiceover-wise. I'm on Facebook relatively religiously, which is probably a good and bad thing at certain times. But, you know, I kind of quietly observe, you know, like voiceover professionals on LinkedIn, and there's a couple of like Pro Tools VO boards on Facebook that I chime in on occasionally, because Pro Tools is still, at least for the time being, still my main horse that I ride every day for doing VO. Even though it's totally overkill for just voiceover, it's still, you know, it's what I'm fastest on.
Let me pause you there, because a lot of strictly voice talent, you know, there's a lot of people that just do voiceover that are listening to this that didn't come from a production background, and generally their feeling is hatred of Pro Tools. It's so complicated. You know, why does it? You know why? Have you found the community of voice talent that you know gravitating towards it more, away from it more? Or has it pretty much remained the same, that people with any sort of production background are the only ones that will probably use it? What have you found with Pro Tools in the voice community?
I've had some other friends and a few people that I know that have approached me over the years and were like, you know, well, I got to get Pro Tools. Why? Well, because the studios that I work with, you have it. Okay. And I was told that if I don't have Pro Tools on my computer, it will sound different than when I send the file. I'm like, no, someone lied to you. They don't know what they're talking about. it's all zeros and ones, and you know what makes the difference is the gozintas and the gozoutas that's attached to your computer. The software itself means nothing really, but I find a lot of people think they need to have it in order to, because, you know, it's got the word pro in it. But I have talked to several people, most of whom have production backgrounds, that's still their main gig. I mean, you know, that's their main box, but a lot of my friends that are doing strictly voiceover have moved on to, like Twisted Wave. Is a pretty interesting program.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too. So the folks that aren't interested in endeavoring into the world of Pro Tools, and as you said, if you're not going to be doing a lot of multi-track, multi-plug-in, you know, heavyweight production, then really there's no need for you. If you haven't already been using Pro Tools, there's no need. So
no.
You just mentioned Twisted Wave, which is a Mac program.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk a little bit about that, but also go into more, you know, what else would people want to look at if they're looking for something that's for ease of use or for the starter voice talent?
Ease of use. Twisted Wave is you know, straight up and down just the easiest program probably to use. There's also Audacity, which I think is free.
It's free.
I think I used to play with Audacity back at the radio station just when we were kind of playing with ideas other than the Odyssey that we were using. And then I started using Pro Tools, and then the station bought it for me. But I think Audacity still exists, and it's still free, and some people swear by it. On the PC side of things, it's expensive, but I dig Adobe Audition, which used to be, what, Cool Edit Pro back in the day? Back in the day, you know, back in the early O's.
I still have it, man. I keep it on all my PCs.
It's a great program. I'm using Audition. Truth be told, I'm a Pro Tools user, but begrudgingly so sometimes, because Pro Tools decides to just haphazardly stop in the middle of doing a 10-minute record session, which is great. And if I'm not paying attention to the timer, you know, I'll go on for another 2 minutes before I realize that the timer says zero. And then I have to go back and start again. So because of that, I'm looking at some other reliable options. Audition has been great on the Mac. And now it's like a subscription service, which is weird. And I think it's subscription on both platforms, Mac and PC, and the program is basically the same. But if you go into the subscription, then you can get access to like all of Adobe's stuff for like 20 or 30 or 40 bucks a month or whatever they charge for it. I have no idea. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think of what else is out there.
I think you gave some good options there.
Yeah.
Twisted Wave is one. A lot of it is, you know, Mac people, and I don't want to say I use a Mac now 50% of the time in my life, so I don't want to say this bad, but people who just want simplicity in computing tend to lean to the Mac, and because of that, they just want simplicity in recording.
Right.
And Twisted Wave is a good option, so you'll see the forums. Let's get back to the communities a little bit more. I know there's a lot of different types of folks and different types of places to interact, and then there's lots of conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever, as a voice talent, feel the need? Have you gone to any of these voiceover conferences that happen around the country?
I haven't. What I go to typically, my work is primarily network, cable network. I'm even dabbling in a little bit of trailer and then some commercial stuff as well, but mostly. So typically what I go to is I go to this convention in Los Angeles called ProMax, which is,
it's been around a long time.
Yeah, it's been around a long time. It used to move around from city to city, and then it was back and forth between LA and New York. Then it was in New York for a while. Now it's like the last several years it's been in LA only. And I think it's going to stay there for a while, but, you know, that's a pretty good place to go and meet up certainly with other voiceover people, but definitely that's a good place to go and meet and try and schmooze with the people who will hire us as voiceover people.
Now, is ProMax more for like promo voice folks, or is it a wide range in commercial and industrial?
No, it's primarily promo. That would be what you would find out there.
Would you meet actual, you know, decision makers and hirers, you know, those with money that want to pay talent? Do you find it a good value to meet those types of people?
You can. You certainly can. Usually what I would do, what I like to do is go and meet up with my agents or with my manager and then kind of it's not. At least in my experience, it's not something that I typically would go and just be like, you know, hey, I'm Mike Bratton, you should hire me. It's more of just, hi, how are you? Really? You work for Fox? I love Fox. They're great. By the way, I do voiceover for Fox Business Network. And then that hopefully starts some conversations and things like that. I've not directly gone and really solicited for a lot of business because it's a little weird to do that, but it is a good place to meet people. More affiliates, television affiliate people used to go to the ProMax. Now they actually have two separate ProMaxes. They have the big ProMax in LA, and then they have the quote unquote station conference in Las Vegas. And now I think most affiliates go to the station conference in Vegas since it's really, you know, geared toward the station level. But it used to be, you know, I've met several creative directors from different, you know, TV affiliates and things like that. But it is a good place to kind of bump into some other voice guys. You'll see and women as well. You'll see everybody all over the place. So, but it is primarily promo and imaging and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so taking it back down to, you know, the novice, mm-hmm. you know, the newbie that wants to get into this, perhaps starting out at ProMax might not be the best decision.
No.
Perhaps there's other things that a new talent should actually put their time and effort into. What would you say either is the very first thing you should do, or just give me, you know, in general, what's the most important things to get going right out of the gate?
Training. Training as much as possible. That's my two cents on the on the whole, you know, getting started thing? Because I get that question quite a bit from friends of family members, you know, it's like, and complete strangers. In fact, I was ordering a piece of office furniture just this past weekend, and the guy that I was talking to on the phone said, "Oh, I see you're a voice actor." "Yes, I am." He was like, "That's cool. I used to be an actor too, and I did some voiceover." And then it started into that conversation, and I was like, "Oh boy, here we go," you know.
Yeah.
And and I love the fact that there is such interest in it now. But sometimes you get you and I'm sure you've found this too. You'll get the questions from people where it's like, you can tell they heard you can make a lot of money just by talking. And that's
right.
You know, there's that set of people. And then there's the set of people that's like, I'm really interested in the craft that goes behind doing this. I think that there's something to it. I have no idea where to start. And those are the people that, you know, that and if you're listening to me right now, get thee to a coach or a local acting class, an improv class. All of those things will help you more than going out and buying the latest and greatest microphone, computer, software, all that stuff. The first and foremost thing you need to do is learn how to talk good. And I don't just mean like by sound, but I mean like actually understanding and you know, having intention to the words and being able to lift the words off the page and make them sound like they're your own. Even in the world of promo, you still kind of have to do that, but you certainly have to do that with commercials. So, and narration.
Well, the next thing on my list was training and coaching.
So oh, hey,
I figured you'd go there.
There you go.
but really, the perfect piece of advice. You know, I've done that, and I'll just say that I seek out training. I've had a little coaching, but I also seek out training wherever I can get it, mm-hmm. from fellow talent like yourself or whatever. But what's the best strategy? You know, if someone's not going to go pay top dollar, like, you know, we're just starting out. I don't want to go spend the maximum amount per hour doing phone sessions with, you know, whoever in LA or New York. Mm-hmm. What can they look for to still find quality training at a local level? You know, what are some of the things that will be of value to talent?
You know, I like I was saying before, I briefly mentioned, acting classes are a number one. If you can find a local college or maybe there's a local theater or something that has classes or workshops, things like that, I would definitely look into that kind of training.
Mm-hmm.
Because and there are other classes, other schools that specify voiceover, and some of them are reputable and some of them are a little weird. You know, you just have to be very careful, because anyone who is taking money from you with the promise of getting you to where you're going to be making money in this business, you have to make sure that you really are being told all of the truths about the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
right.
it's one thing to have a good voice. It's another thing to be able to read copy very well and believably. It's something entirely different, though. Sometimes you just kind of have a little knack for it, and sometimes you can learn that knack, and sometimes it's just unlearnable for some people, and that's just all there is to it, you know. And I don't mean that in a mean way or a bad way. It's like, I suck at baseball, basketball, football. It's unlearnable for me. I'm not going to ever get any better at it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Cooking, I have a knack for, and I've taken some classes, and I've gotten better at it. You know, and it's kind of like that. You have a natural ability
sure.
for certain aspects of it, and then you go and seek out the training to bring out and make better the natural tendencies that you have for that, whatever that is. And then if it's just not working out, then maybe that's not for you.
Listening to what you said, there's just a delay in the phone, so I'll just jump in on you when I want to.
Sounds good.
when talking about this, you mentioned acting classes. You know, five times, and you didn't even really mention technically a voiceover coach, yet there's lots of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure they have value to you, but is it safe to say, though, that especially for people starting out, that don't waste your time with an actual voiceover coach right away, that you should go to acting classes?
No.
Or other things.
I think I was really more specifically going off of what you were you had kind of broken it down into, like, you know, should what could someone do at the local level without going too into like big money, that kind of stuff. There are still voiceover coaches that are great, that work remote control, that aren't, you know, super high dollar, but some of them will only work with seasoned voiceover people, and some of them will work with brand new people.
Sure.
And my suggestion, if you're going to go that route, is to join some of those online groups, like voiceover professionals on LinkedIn. There's a couple of like voiceover friends on Facebook, and go. Reach out to those people, to other people, and see if they have experience with whomever you choose or you're looking at, and make sure that they're someone who is actually looking to, first and foremost, that will tell you within one or two sessions, this is exactly what you should be doing, or maybe you shouldn't, maybe this isn't right for you, you know? Like, maybe this will be a fun hobby for you, but don't. Maybe, you know, this might not be a money-making venture for you down the road. You know, and I don't mean that, again, I don't mean that in a mean way. I think everyone needs to have their dreams and follow them and pursue them, because God knows that's what I did, and I'm still doing every day. And I still go with coaching, you know, quite often. So because we never learn everything there is to learn. We're always learning by doing every day. Yeah, I think that acting classes and then also the voiceover coaching are two things that just are very, very helpful, because the acting classes will help kind of get used to reading scripts and also get used to getting out of your head and turning off your filters and all that kind of stuff. And then the voiceover coaches are great, because mm-hmm. then they can help you, you know, really hone your skills reading copy, because, again, reading copy is very different from acting with another person, because when you're acting with another human being, you're able to react off of one another. When you're looking at a piece of paper and you're reading words off of that piece of paper, if you are not trying to act those words, then it sounds just like you're reading words off a piece of paper. So you have to, there's nothing for you to react to if you're just reading it off of a page. So that's where if you get a little bit of acting training, or even, again, improvisational training is very helpful as well.
Certainly. Yeah, let's switch gears a bit. Talk about agents and managers real quick.
Sure.
I know you're represented. At what point in one's career should one decide, okay, I'm ready, I'm going to go look for an agent? Do you have a definitive answer to that, or is it kind of a just start looking, when you get one, then yay?
It's hard to say. From my experience, it was it took years. It took several years for me to get attention from an agent, even though I used to like hire voice talent from that person all the time. When I was working at various stations, I had picked up, you know, 10 radio stations on the side or something like that. And I called him one day to set up a session. And I said, hey, I've got some stations of my own now. Maybe you and I should work together. And he said, call me back when you have 50 stations. And I was like, if I have 50, what do I need you for? That was a joke.
What's the answer to that? What's the answer to that?
The answer to that, what do I need you for? The answer to that is you need that agent to get you into other areas of the business if that's what you want to go into. Because getting radio station voiceover jobs is one thing, because you can market all day long to radio stations and to program directors and stuff like that online, postcards, send stuff out. Commercial production, you could get involved in trying to market to an ad agency, but, you know, I don't know how well you know, DDB or JWT, like these various like big agencies that handle big accounts, pay attention to, you know, marketing like that, direct marketing, because they usually will pick up the phone and contact and you know, several agents and say, you know, we need to cast this type of person, this type of person. So that's what you need the agent for, is their connections for, you know, bigger things that maybe you, you know, wouldn't have access to otherwise, or maybe never even thought of before.
And do you have any special tips on, you know, what one should do to acquire the attention and or representation of an agent?
I would say be different is one thing that works. Being good helps, yes, definitely. Having a snazzy demo is one thing, but it needs to fulfill a need. If you're interested in getting represented, you're always fulfilling a need for someone. You're fulfilling a need for the agency because they don't have somebody that sounds like you or that reads like you or that has a funky, quirky thing like you, but they don't know that yet. They don't know that they need you yet. So you need to tell them that, hey, you know, I was listening to your list of guys and that are in my range and none of them are like me. I hear that sound on TV on this and this and this campaign. I can be that guy for you or that woman for you. And then that agent now has the power, you know, has you in their hands to say, to go to a client and say, you need this guy because every voice that you're using right now on your campaign sounds like this campaign and you need to use this guy in order to, you know, to differentiate yourself in the marketplace. And, you know, you're always fulfilling somebody's need. So that's what you need to generate to really get the attention of an agent is you need to just have something different, something to offer them, something that they can, you know, really get their hands onto and get behind.
And then let's flip over to the other side of that. So now let's be honest and manage expectations. When one signs with an agent, really, what should they expect? I mean, or you can just talk about your experiences, but, you know, what realistically should one expect if they've just signed with a big, whoever agent?
You know, when signing with a bigger agency, well, with any agency, I think the expectation just needs to be that you're going to have an advocate for you. That should be your expectation. Now, if you're going to get into an agency that has, you know, 200 people and 100 men, 100 women, and 50 of the men sound just like you, you know, you're going to be competing against your own, you know, other guys at your own agency, as well as other guys at other agencies, and women at your own agency and women at other agencies. So, you know, you're going to have to expect to lose far more often than you win, which I think everybody at this point, if you're doing voiceover at all, whether you have an agent or not, you kind of have to expect rejection as part of the game. Although it's never really rejection. It's just, you know, they just didn't hear it. Okay, fine. You know, move on to the next thing.
Just out of curiosity, when you got going, now you've already mentioned that you do a lot more promo, network work, I guess affiliate work. On the commercial side, though, are you represented by multiple agents, and do you still audition often?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm represented in New York, L.A., and Chicago.
And then just to expand on that, so how many auditions would you say you get, and then, you know, give us a ballpark on how many you book, or generally what can be expected? I just want to give people a real feel for the numbers.
Yeah, it's funny because it's kind of hard to say, and I mean that because, like, I have a bunch of regular work that I do, and then I probably get anywhere from, like, 5 to 10 auditions a week or two, every week or two. Booking ratios are funny from year to year. It's like last year, you know, I probably booked more often than I have this year, new stuff. And I'm not, you know, so it's kind of hard to say. But you could very easily read 100 auditions before you book anything. You know, hopefully not. That's a total drag to read that many. But you know, starting out, I sure as hell read an awful lot of auditions and didn't get anything. And then there were some things that I didn't even audition for and I got. So, you know, it's really up in the air, man. Unless there's something that you're doing that just suddenly is exactly what somebody needs and that catches on and boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden it's all over the place. That doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, you're the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Now, let's talk about away from that, though. So talk about your day. Obviously, you voice lots of copy. You have lots of various types of sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And the promo world, in your promo world, are you doing a lot of ISDN sessions? Are you set up for that?
I'm set up for it. I don't really need to do that many. Most of my work goes. I either go into the city because I'm in New York. I'm in Brooklyn right now. So I'll either go into the city to record, or a lot of my stuff is either phone patch or just at this point I've been doing some of these clients for so long that they don't even listen in anymore. It's just record it and send fire off the file. But I'd say probably my ISDN box gets used maybe two or three times a week. I know there are other guys that use their ISDN a lot more often. If I wasn't in New York, my ISDN box would be used quite a bit more. But
now, you said you were from Chicago. Mm-hmm. You don't need to tell me if it was like personal reasons, but you went to New York. Was that for actually your career or for a different reason? And if... Well, it doesn't matter what the answer is, but how has it impacted your career being in New York versus Chicago?
You know, we were my wife and I were in Chicago, and I was at the radio job, and then we decided we had wanted to move to New York for quite some time because we both liked New York an awful lot, and we figured when we finally made the decision after I had been fully freelance for a little over a year. When we made the decision to move to New York, we figured, well, it can only be a good thing for my career as far as commercial opportunity goes, because being in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago, really, there's an awful lot of commercial production being done in those cities and, like national commercial stuff. And when you're in these, a lot of those types of commercials also go through casting directors, and a lot of those casting directors in New York and Los Angeles and even in Chicago, they want to see your face. Doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And like it really doesn't change anything, and yet it does. And so I figured, let's just go to New York and give it a whirl. And it definitely helped in that respect, because I was going out and seeing more commercial.
Were you already signed with your New York agent before you moved there?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, so moving to New York wasn't a necessity to actually attain New York representation.
No,
but but probably a lot more job opportunities, though, as you were just kind of alluding to.
Yeah, that was really the reason. I mean, my agency was basically telling me on a weekly basis, you know, we could do a lot more for you if you were here. And so finally, one day, I called him and said, "Okay, we're moving. Time for you to make good on that." And they did. You know, they definitely did. It's not like you land in New York City and then all of a sudden, you know, jobs come to me. You know, you still have to audition and you still have to win. It definitely, you know, if you get out there and you get your face in front of casting directors enough, they will start to call for you specifically and start asking you to come in and read for things. So,
yeah. So about the sort of the rest of your day when you're not actually voicing copy, you know, specifically, what kinds of things are you doing? Are you doing things to further your career, you know, training wise? Are you out there sort of hustling for jobs yourself? or are you out, you know, shopping on Madison Avenue? Or, you know, what kind of things do you do away from the mic?
Lovey, I'm out there doing as much shopping as possible. You know, when I'm not like reading copy, I'm doing a couple of things. I'm practicing, yes. Since we have a newborn, I nap occasionally. That usually doesn't happen that much though, because I do drink a pot of coffee a day. And then, yeah, I get out and I try and get out because it's a, you know, I'm in New York. I should make as much time as I can. If I'm not specifically here cutting copy for gigs, I'll have, you know, typically some auditions in the city and also at home. If I don't have any of that stuff going on, earlier in the day, I'll try and get out and ride my bike at the park nearby. You know, just kind of try and live life a little bit. That's part of being freelance voiceover is that, you know, you kind of have, you do have some time to yourself, and you should make,
yeah,
you should make use of that time to further your career. Sure. We all need to do that. But you know, it's nice to just kind of take a stroll or go get a bowl of ramen at a nice Japanese restaurant nearby, or go get a burger, you know, whatever. Grab a beer at noon. Hey, but yeah, that's rare. It's just nice to get out of the house and kind of get outside your head, because that's important too.
Yeah, it makes sense. I do want to, before I lose you, I want to talk about some gear, because you're something of a gearhead. I
do love it. I do love the gear. It's true.
Instead of getting into all the various, you know, multi-thousand-dollar pieces of equipment and tube mics and all that you have, again, to play the angle on sort of the new person, you know, a lot of people may jump into this and say, all right, I'm going to go buy the most expensive channel strip. I'm going to buy the most expensive condenser mic and this mic. Let's break it down for people. And what is the, if they can buy one thing, or if they're going to buy one thing to start out, what is the most important thing that people need to have?
The most important thing that people need to have is they need to have a good mic and a quiet place to use it, because no amount of money that you spend on processing preamps, Neumanns, you know, Pro Tools, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. if you're sitting in a bathtub doing your recording, it's going to sound like you're sitting in a bathtub doing your recording. So, you know, mm-hmm. the best investment that you can make is to find a good quiet place and then make it quieter, as quiet as you can.
What is your good quiet place? What do you use? What do you have?
My good quiet place is actually this great big box called the Studio Bricks One. It's this big fancy.
Yes.
Shiny,
I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a big shiny booth that I got from Spain. Actually, it's a fantastic piece of equipment. I really do like it. It has a funny ring to it in a certain frequency range though that I haven't figured out how to get rid of. But it really only bugs my ear and nothing else. Like, it doesn't affect a recording. But before that, my favorite quiet place was actually a booth made by Drum Perfect, which is fantastic. It's just not very good at blocking out sound, but it's the best sounding mm-hmm. booth I've ever been in. And then before that was some $99 Japanese floor screens that I bought from JCPenney. I kid you not, with some $30 sound absorbing blankets, aka moving blankets, from MarkerTech,
sure.
thrown over the top, and some RLX foam that I glued onto some I've forgotten what this stuff is called, but some like little foam panels that I basically created to put down each one of the floor screen panels. And I swear to you, I did the entire first year and a half that I was working for Fox Business Network out of that little arrangement. And our condo that I lived in Chicago was on a commuter rail track. So I had to time my reads just right.
Yeah, let me ask you this thing, because I knew you bought the Studio Bricks, and I've loved the idea of that. I haven't got it myself, but you were one of the first Americans I knew to have it. So We know that those things are pretty good. As you said, it is a small ring, but actually for price, they're pretty good value too. But compare that to the screen setup you just mentioned. Now, realistically, how much better is the Studio Bricks booth than your screen setup with the RLX foam and the little topper?
I'll tell you, for keeping out noise, this thing can hardly be beat. For keeping out noise, okay. Like with especially with a newborn, which is why I got this thing.
You live in Brooklyn. That can't be easy.
But amazingly, the windows in our apartment are outstanding. But and we have construction going on right outside our windows for like the last couple of years. But my office space is also the second bedroom, so we've got it split. It used to just be my office and my wife's creative space, and now we call it the Nerfus. So it's half nursery and half office. Because I'm splitting space with a baby, I thought, well, crap, I need to get something that's really, really quiet, both for him and for myself, because now that I'm doing some things in Los Angeles, being all the way over here on the East Coast, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, a call can come in, and that's 7 o'clock at night on the West Coast. So 10 o'clock at night here, my boy's already been asleep for a couple of hours. I got to make sure I don't wake him up. If I were using my screens and that whole deal, that little situation sounded fantastic. But if he made a peep or if I was too loud, he would hear it and I'd wake him up, you know. So if you use but the screen system using that whole little setup, and I'm happy to describe it in detail if anyone wants to email me about it. that system was inexpensive and it sounded good, and it definitely will work to get you started. But if you live near an airport, you might want to put that whole setup inside an interior closet. You know, it's like
if you work in a Nerfus, that's another reason. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love the idea of the screen setup with the moving blankets, especially for those that are just because the thing I hate to see is people say, you know, especially I heard you can make millions of dollars in voiceover. I'm going to just start today, you know, and then they go out and they drop, you know, 13 grand on a Neumann and an Avalon and a, you know, and whatever else. And then they don't have the room, and then, you know, they're not a voice talent. So
exactly.
In order to kind of mitigate some of these issues for people, I love the room idea. Just get a quality mic, a quality sound input, you know, a balanced input, and then get yourself some voice acting. You know?
Absolutely.
I love it. Great advice today, Mike.
Well, I try.
I know you got to run. You got a trailer to do, so I'm trying to – I think we have 1 minute or so. You know, I just want to remind – I mean, thank you so much for your time. You let me plow through a lot of questions, a lot of value. MikeBrattonVoice.com, B-R-A-T-T-O-N, voice.com, at Mike B. Voice. Any parting words for the community, for the listeners out there?
Man, just keep doing what you do. Enjoy yourself. Have fun. And along the way, you'll make some money, and that'll make you happy. And that's the real key, is just be happy. Because this is a really cool business.
All right, Mike. Well, we'll definitely stay in touch. We'll be hearing you on the television, on the tube, and radio, of course, and elsewhere. And you and I will stay in touch too, man. I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, man. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
The producers.
All right. One final word. Thanks again to Mike Bratton. Let's see here. MikeBrattonVoice.com. It's B-R-A-T-T-O-N voice.com. Also on Twitter, at Mike B. Voice. So I believe we just covered that in the interview. Anyway, if you'd like to hit him up, definitely a smart guy, big gearhead. He has lots of fancy microphones and processors and channel strips and fancy booth from Spain, which I'm jealous of. I think I made that clear. A couple of last things to cover before I let you go. One thing, we'll mention the guests again. upcoming, Cousin Deke, who's been requested a few times. Finally got him ready to roll. We'll do that interview in the next couple months. And I think next will be Vishwanath, a very talented producer out of Dubai. I like to do the international interviews whenever possible. And we've been communicating on email, and I've delayed him a couple months. Sorry, man. But that'll be a good episode, and we'll get that one, I believe, in the month of July. Finally, on the website, check out the blog. I do try and post lots of interesting content whenever I can, whether it's something that I make, like a little video, a tip, or a tutorial video, or whatever. Also, if I find stuff out there, for example, Pensado's Place, something I referenced recently. It's a YouTube series with Dave Pensado, genius Grammy Award-winning producer, who has to be one of the coolest dudes you'd ever see. I mean, he's just so laid back and like, oh yeah, I'm a genius, but whatever, man. Here's how you make killer reverb. Let's use 38 plugins to make the best compression chain you've ever seen in your life, and I just do it because it's natural. But he's a really good teacher, too. Love his series. Anyway, on my blog, I'll continue to post cool content. Also, Pro Tools 11. I would ask that anyone who has already gotten into Pro Tools 11, if you have something cool to share about it, little review, maybe you've made a video yourself, I'd be happy to promote it out there on my site. I just want to get as much information about Pro Tools 11 as it comes out, because I know I won't be upgrading for a while. My issue is mainly plugin support, and since I won't be able to jump into it completely, I don't want to be working, you know, 80% of the time in Pro Tools 10 and then go screw around in Pro Tools 11. So I'll be waiting myself, but anyone who's jumped in, love to hear from you. All right, I think I've talked enough, right? Yes? Okay. If you're getting this just before 4th of July, long 4th of July weekend, I hope you have yourself a great time. Be safe. And if you're getting this 5 years down the road, well, be safe as well. Hopefully Earth still exists. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.